Good evening. Wanted to get a jump on the evening over here. We left off with a couple of questions last week, which were very interesting. And we said, V'atah tavol v'asecha b'shalom. And who are we talking about at Mitchila Hayu of the Avodah Zorah Hayu Avoseinu? So if we're saying that Avraham himself was an Ovdei Avodah Zorah until he discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, he was at the age of 52, roughly, that's what we speculate. And at that time is when he broke his father's idols. Interestingly enough, the dating is when Avraham was born is very interesting. On the Hebrew calendar, it's the year 1948, and that would seem to be very auspicious in terms of our English calendar nowadays, with 1948 being the birth of the State of Israel as well. That's a whole other story. But when it says, when God tells Avraham at the Brisbane Absarim, V'atah tavol avosecha b'shalom, who is he talking about? You go to your avosecha. In other words, if his forefathers were Ovdei Avodah Zorah, who was he talking about? And of course, the speculation is if he's going to be buried in the Maris of Machpelah, it would be Adam, but Adam and Chava. But that's not necessarily avosecha because it's plural. And therefore, what we have to go back is where Avraham came from. Is obviously we know certain people that preceded him were tzaddikim, and that was he came from the root of Shem, and Shem V'Aver, who had the yeshiva that even Yaakov learned that. So Shem and Aver and Shelach, they were tzaddikim. It's only Avraham's father, Terach, and his grandfather, Nochar. Of course, he had a brother, Nochar, too, but he had a grandfather, Nochar, and those were also, those were the Rishoyim and possibly Sarug before that. They were the Rishoyim that we're talking about. And one other thing, when it says V'dor Revi'i Yeshuvu Heino, what is that all about? We left off and said, where do we start counting the Dor Revi'i Yeshuvu Heino? So we have to go back and understand what was the reason that they had to spend that all that time, the 210 years that they spent in Egypt. What was the sin that they were sent down to Mitzrayim? Avraham surely did no sins, and the Gemara is very unsure about what sins we're talking about, and therefore the idea is that the whole idea of why they ended up in Mitzrayim was Mechiras Yosef. So the fact that it was Mechiras Yosef, the selling of the brothers selling Yosef, and therefore they ended up, it was Yehuda's suggestion that Lechuvanim Karenuli Ayush Me'elim Yodenu Alti Hibo, we shouldn't kill him, we'll sell him down to the Ishmaelim, and then they didn't really want him to go down to Mitzrayim, but nevertheless, that's where he ended up through the good advice, through the advice of Yehuda, so to speak, and that's why all the Shvatim were punished, and everybody was involved, literally everybody, even Reuven, who wasn't there at the time of the sale, but he got the ball rolling when he said, let's throw him in the pit. And Yehuda, even though he speculated not to kill him, he still wanted him sold. And Binyamin later on, even though Binyamin certainly wasn't in on the sale and wouldn't have been happy with it, but Binyamin was in on the secret later on, and he kept his father out of the loop. Yaakov did not know, and Binyamin, as some want to speculate, you just judge by the company you keep, and since Binyamin was part of his brothers, and unfortunately, you know, be careful of the company you keep, even if you are innocent of all sin, so that would be, it would fall on your shoulders. And that's what it's talking about. So they ended up in Mitzrayim, and so we count from Yehuda, from the Shevet, from not just from Yehuda, but from Yehuda himself, Yehuda. And then the fourth generation was Kalev, who went into the land of Shevet Yehuda. We're counting the four generations. But interestingly enough, when we look at the pasuk, V'atah tavol al avosecha b'shalom, what is the operative word in that sentence? There's always one word that means something, and it's V'atah, and you, as opposed to if you're going back to Adam and Chava, who were buried in the Maris Machpelah. it's the operative word there is shalom as well. V'atah tavol avasecha b'shalom, and we're always taught to think that it means that you won't be going into Golus, which is certainly true. And even Yitzchak, of course, obviously would not go into Golus because he never left Eretz Yisrael, so it precluded him from ever having to go into Golus. And it would have to start not sooner than Yaakov himself. But b'shalom means, unfortunately, the reference is to Adam HaRishon, who lost his son, Cain, who, when he died, he was a very unhappy man. And also when he was created, he was living in Gan Eden. He was living in the Garden of Eden, and he was chased out of the Garden of Eden. He lost that, and he always felt terrible about that and losing his son. Those were the two things. And God is telling Abraham, you will die in peace. In other words, you won't die with the anguish that Adam and Chava passed away from. And you, Tavol Avasecha B'Shalom, you will leave this world in peace, not with a heavy heart. And so that's a very interesting look at the way it is. What I wanted to say, one other thing, is the Haftorah this week is a very important Haftorah, because Malachi, the Haftorah that we read, interestingly enough, starts off with a pasuk that we say every three times a day in Shron Esrei. We're very familiar with the first pasuk, V'yavar al Hashem in Chas Yehudah v'Yerushalayim Kimei Olam. And that's what we say in Shmon Esrei. And then the pasuk at the end is also, we are very familiar with, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lefnei Yom Bo HaGadol V'Hanora. Some want to speculate that's why this is called Shabbos HaGadol. We read this Haftorah. But that's not really the reason, or the Rebbe makes a long drasha. But the interesting thing is, why, if it's the pasuk before that says Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, if I remember this year, and it always meant something to me because my grandfather passed away Erev Pesach, I was alone with him, passed away Erev Pesach with the chametz in his hand. We were going down to burn the chametz. I was just before my ninth birthday, and I mentioned this, I'm sure, but the point being, his name was Moshe, and that's why it meant so much to me. So Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. I always make a siyum on his yahrzeit at Pesach, even though I'm not a Bechor, but that's still, I do it in his honor. But the point being over here, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, certainly Moshe was the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael. He was the greatest human being who ever lived. But yet, the last nevuah that was ever heard by Klal Yisrael is, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Lefnei Yom Bo HaGadol V'Hanora. One would think that God would send you Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one who was the teacher and the one who bring Klal Yisrael around to make them see the light, so to speak. So why Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi? It almost makes it seem, of course, that Eliyahu on some level was as, if not greater than Moshe, because Moshe, we know, it says Moshe was buried. At the end of it, he says, Vayomos Moshe, and Moshe died. Eliyahu HaNavi, we learn in Navi, that he went up to Shemayim Besara Seish. He left this world alive. It almost makes it sound like Eliyahu HaNavi on some level was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. But the answer is a very unusual answer over here, and this is from the Abar Benel, who was, by the way, the only Meforish who actually wrote all his Meforish. He wrote a specific Meforish for the Haggadah. This is, he says this on this and as well, of course, at the end of Zos HaBracha. One shouldn't think that Moshe Rabbeinu, each one had a different tafkid, a different part of their life that they were destined to bring about. The reason Eliyahu HaNavi has to be the one, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem, because this was at this time before Mashiach comes. The harbinger of Mashiach will be by human beings. Eliyahu HaNavi has to come. And since Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Shemayim, or we don't know where he went, it says he went to Saras Eish. Where did he actually go? His body left this world intact. And he's, so to speak, been living all these years in Gan Eden and waiting for God to call upon him while his guf, his corporal body, is still intact. And he will be able to return as a human being to bring us around, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, who has passed away at the end of Chumash Sefer Devarim, and all other human beings who died a natural death, they would have to wait for Tchias HaMesim to come back, and this is before Mashiach comes. It's Eliyahu HaNavi has to come, and he's the harbinger of Mashiach. And that's why Eliyahu HaNavi, all these years, according to Rabbi Benel, has been sitting in this holding cell, so to speak, living all these years, waiting for his return and his original state as the person that he was. It's a very far-out thought, but nevertheless, it's a very interesting one and answers a lot of questions. When we say to the Chacham, Kihilchos HaPesach, that's a very interesting language usage. Kihilchos HaPesach, it's obviously, there's no point at this time after Churban Bayis. The Haggadah was written so much later after Churban. We didn't say the Haggadah or even Tefillah of any kind was written much later after Churban Bayis. And so Kihilchos HaPesach, why doesn't it say, you know, Hilchos HaPesach? We should learn Hilchos HaPesach if we have to bring the Korban Pesach. But obviously, what we're learning is Eimafirin Achar HaPesach Afikom, and it's to tell you the laws of Pesach, all the laws of Chometz and Matzah, and all the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. All these things is what we are there to learn, because the truth of the matter is there's no Korban Pesach that we bring today. So we're doing things that are tantamount to learning. It's just like when we daven in the morning, is why do we say karbonis in the morning before davening starts? It's because somebody who learns the hilchos of karbonis is ke'ilu hikriv karbon. It's considered as if you were makriv the karbon. So the same thing in the Haggadah, we say ke'hilchos ha-pesach. When we read the Haggadah and learn all about the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror, it's just as if we are Mekayim, we're fulfilling our obligation of bringing a Korban Pesach. Now, V'hisham del Avoseinu V'lanu is a very interesting thought process, because what is it actually doing here in the Haggadah? I don't remember if we covered this part last week. What is it doing in the Haggadah this week, in the thing at all? But we always mention all the Nisim V'niflos that happened in previous times. And so we mention all these things. We don't often know what's going on behind the scenes, as I mentioned with Parshas Balak. I think I did say that last week. Now, the Haggadah believes starts, interestingly enough, with Holach Ma'anya, the Achola Avasana. There's one very interesting thought process, is when it says Holach Ma'anya, what are we talking about? Are we pointing to the matzah? We have things a little bit, if you look, there are some very old Haggadahs that say, we're talking about the Haggadahs that were written 500 years ago. If you go to the museum in Israel, and they have some Haggadahs from 500 and 600 years ago, and some of the Nuschol, some of the text is a little bit different, and the instructions are a little different. And the point of Yachat is not a separate thing. Yachat and Holach Ma'anya go together. When we take the middle matzah, in reality, according to the old minhagim, you take the middle matzah when we break it and hold it for the afikoman. As we break it, what we're saying at that time is we take the middle matzah that we broke and say, Holach Ma'anya, this is our bread of affliction. It's a half a matzah, we're aniyim. So that even though the point is we start the Haggadah with Aramaic and we end it with the Chag Gadol, which is also Aramaic, although we're celebrating our freedom and it's a wonderful time, just like we sit here with a kittel in our glorious white clothing, festive Suda, we have the Seder when we're talking and families get together. Hopefully if we have the ability to have family at the table and celebrate, you know, and have a few kosels of wine, it's a wonderful experience. And it's a wonderful time, but we always have to remember, because the reality is before we sit down to the Seder and after we finish the Seder, we are still in Golus. We are not freedom. We try to celebrate and relive what it was like for the Bnei Yisrael who left Mitzrayim and felt the yoke, the freedom, the yoke was lifted from their hands, especially after Kriyas Yamsuf, the yoke of the Mitzrayim was lifted from their shoulders, and now they were free and could live as free people. But nevertheless, for us today is Cholas Ma'anya, and we finish with Chag Gadya to remind us, and the same reason there's a dual purpose for wearing a kittel at the Seder. We read it like a chassan who walks down, he wears a kittel under the chuppah, but it's also a kittel is what we wear when we leave this world. Our tachrichim are also represented by the kittel, and we put on our white clothing. So while we're having this joy of sitting at the Seder, we're always there to remind us of certain things. One other thing, of course, that we have at the Seder that to remind us, or more than one thing, since the first night of the Seder, in other words, if we know that Saturday night is the first Seder, then we also know that Tisha B'Av will come out on Sunday this year, and that is represented on one thing, why we have the egg at the Seder plate. That is also to remind us that it's the night of Tisha B'Av as well. So the night of the Seder is always going to be the night of Tisha B'Av. But more than that, Yachatz represents also when we break the matzah, when we break that middle matzah, is to remind us of that it's not a whole matzah while we're sitting here and enjoying a Seder with our families and having a wonderful moment here. We break that matzah in reference to just like under the chuppah, when we step on the glass and we break a glass zechel of Churban, we break the middle matzah. It's also a reminder of Churban bias. Also, very interestingly enough, we notice it's always Moshe Rabbeinu, we're always told, is not mentioned in the Haggadah. Actually, he is mentioned in the Haggadah one time when it talks about Vayosha, when it has the prayer of Vayosha, and it says, Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo. The reason it picks that pasuk to remind us of Moshe only, because we are taught that pasuk doesn't just tell us that the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, because since we're talking so much about Moshe Rabbeinu in general, he was certainly the catalyst and the linchpin for being the shliach. He was the messenger to take us out of Mitzrayim, and hopefully we would want him to be the messenger to take us into the Gula Shleim at the end, and that's why he's not there. But Moshe understood better than anybody else, Vayaminu Bashem is the focal point of the Seder, and that Moshe himself, as great as he was, Moshe Avdo, Moshe was only a servant. He was only there to enact. He was only there to carry out God's wishes. He had no power on his own. So the only time we mention Moshe is by saying, Vayaminu Bashem uva Moshe Avdo, that all the nisim that happened were through the hands of God. And that's why, by the Melchemes HaMolek at the end of Parshas Vishalach, after they cross the sea and they have the Melchemes, the war with HaMolek, when Moshe Alu Rosh HaGivah, he climbs the top of the mountain, when they're fighting Amalek, he wants them to see that he takes the staff away and he raises his hand up to heaven to show that V'yohayok Asher Yorim Moshe Yadov Gavar Yisrael, when he raises his hand and points to heaven, and he's showing the people, if you put your faith in God, point to heaven, then God will be on your side and God will be with you to make you victorious. When you put your hands down and think that it's kochi v'yotzim yodi, that your hands are carrying the ball, so to speak, and then we're in trouble. We have to have that kind of faith in our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's all I wanted to say today. Next week we'll have a Chalamay Shir, and we'll talk more about Kriyas Yamsuf. Have a good week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Yasher Koch. May all your prayers and Rebbetzin Rivka's prayers reach Akisei HaKavod.
Oh, that was Gail. Thank you.
Yeah, it's Gail. Yes, yes.
I recognize your voice.
Yes, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, fine, yeah.
Yeah, I wish you and the family a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and the Shekhinah should always dwell in your midst.
Right. Thank you. In regards to Jeffrey.
Yeah, you have a beautiful, beautiful shir. Beautiful. Words, such chizuk.
Thank you.
Regards.
Okay. Regards. Thank you.